This summer, the Treepenny Show and the WrestleTalk Podcast Network cover the G1 Climax Tournament, the most prestigious professional wrestling tournament in the world, hosted by New Japan Pro Wrestling. Can Hiroshi Tenzan and Yuji Nagata lead the third generation back to glory in what may be the final dance for two of New Japan's greatest professional wrestlers? Can Naomichi Marufuji and Katsuyuki Nakajima represent Noah at the highest level in the most important professional wrestling tournament they've ever been in? Will Tetsuya Naito lead Los Ignorables back to dominance in New Japan Pro Wrestling after the disappointment of Dominion? And can Kazuchika Okada, IWGP Heavyweight Champion, take the G1 Climax, something no IWGP champion has ever done before? We will bring you all the news, views and opinions from the WrestleTalk team, including all the Treepenny Show regulars, Chelsea Spollen, Alex Watt, Marcus Green, and will you please welcome Alex Edwards. The Treepenny Show, the G1 Climax Tournament, the most important tournament of the year.
It's the Treepenny Show at the G1 for WrestleTalk TV.
Hello and welcome to the Treepenny Show. My name is Jim Treepenny, this is my show, and today we're at the G1 Climax Tournament, as we will be for the next few weeks, covering all the news from New Japan's biggest singles heavyweight championship tournament of the year, with some massive names in pro wrestling that have joined this tournament just for this particular tournament run. And also, we have some big names on the podcast today, and it's going to be slightly confusing. Because we have Mr. Alex Watt of Unilad. How are you, sir?
Hello. You've kind of set us up for a fall there by saying we're big names, but okay. Thanks.
And also from WrestleTalk TV, Mr. Alex Edwards. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, but yeah, I think you may be setting people up for some disappointment by calling us big names here.
I try and big up the show, and you know, all my guests are special to me. There you go. I will say, though, at the beginning of this show, this is about stuff that's happened in the last 7 days in pro wrestling. So if you are the kind of person that doesn't like spoilers, I would suggest you leave the show till the end, later in the week when you've watched everything, because we're going to talk about the G1 Climax, we're going to talk about the Super J Cup, we're going to talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling in general for the last 7 days. So if you haven't watched anything yet and you want a preview, we can point you in the direction of good matches. If you have watched it all and you want some opinion, we will give you that. But if you want to leave it all and be fresh and crisp and new, you maybe want to save us till a bit later in the week when you've watched everything. And we hope you enjoy our show. But first of all, let's have a message from our sponsors.
WrestlePlus.com is the brand new home of incredible online wrestling content, featuring uncensored shoot interview classics, full series of WrestleTalk TV and British Wrestling Weekly, exclusive documentaries, British wrestling's biggest names before they were stars, an incredible podcast collection, up to 90% off merchandise offers, and the brand new Power Slammed e-magazine forwarded by Finn Martin himself. WrestlePlus has thousands of hours of content with new and exclusive releases added regularly. You can join today for the stupidly low price of just £4.99 a month. Wrestle Plus, because this is wrestling.
Okay then, welcome back. The G1 this year is, well, it's the biggest tournament in pro wrestling as far as I can tell, as an annual event. Certainly WWE has had some big tournaments in the last 12 months, but this one is the one that really matters for a lot of wrestling fans. It's probably the kind of seen as the pure wrestling tournament, has been around a lot longer than people think. This is the, I think it's the 26th iteration of this particular tournament, but the actual tournament itself has been around since 1974, back in the early days of New Japan Pro Wrestling. So you're looking at 40 years of history. Alex Edwards, what does the G1 mean to you?
Well, to put it simply, the G1 means some great, great wrestling. Usually it's where you'll see a load of the sort of match of the year contenders every year. In years past, we've seen some amazing matches. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to the next month. God, month, it's so many shows.
It is. It does feel like a very long period of time when you get lost into it as much as you, if you watch every show, which we're trying to do with this show. I must admit that I've skipped a couple of the tag matches because I've got it to watch all these things and give them proper time. I'm trying to concentrate on the G1 itself. Alex, what about you? What's your impressions of the G1?
Yeah, and yeah, same. I'm just watching tournament matches because it's, yeah, it would be a lot of time spent otherwise. Like other Alex said, it is, you know, it is basically like usually you could you know, the last few years especially, you can have like a top 10 list of the best matches of the year just from what happens in the G1. Like, the quality's always so high. And as well as being, as I've said, the most magical time of the year in wrestling, it kind of sets up, you know, what's going to happen in the next few months as well, going into Wrestle Kingdom in January, which is always interesting to see, you know, how the pieces start to fall into place.
I suppose really as a balance point, and for those of you not familiar with Japanese wrestling, this is essentially like the Royal Rumble in the sense it sets up the main event for the big show of the year, except it's 3 months earlier and it lasts for a month instead of an hour.
I guess if you were to cross the Royal Rumble with the King of the Ring, it's sort of like that.
it's
kind of difficult to explain to a newbie, but I do understand that a lot of you may be interested in New Japan more since the signing of Shinsuke Nakamura and the rise to prominence of Finn Balor, who are obviously key New Japan talents from the past. Okay, so this year's tournament, Block A, features Hiroki Goto, Togi Makabe, Nemachi Marufuji, Sanada, Hiroshi Tanzan, Kazuchika Okada, Bad Luck Fale, Hiroshi Tanahashi, Tomohiro Ishii, and Tama Tonga in Block A of the tournament. Now, this is done in blocks because it's a big, big tournament. There are a lot of people involved. So block by block, we'll look at this today. What do you think
it's not straight knockout as well. We should make that clear. Yeah. It's literally everyone in the same block wrestles everyone over the course of the tournament, which is why it's so... why you get so many amazing matches, because you get all these matchups that you might not necessarily see normally during the year. Yeah. And then the guys with the highest points in each block go on to the final and wrestle each other.
Which will be the big show at the end of August, which we will cover as well. But we might actually have to have some time off to breathe between those two shows. So Block A has put some big names in it. Obviously, the biggest name is Kazuchika Okada, IWGP Heavyweight Champion. Alex Edwards, what's your prediction from this particular group, and what are you expecting from this particular group? Are there any matches you've been looking forward to?
Well, when you've got Okada and you've got Tanahashi in there, and I believe... let me just grab the date from when they're wrestling.
It's the final night of Block A, those two. Final night. Each other. Yeah.
Okay. So that does fall in line with what I was thinking was... having those two sort of dominate the group the whole way through till the end, sort of tied at the top, and then that match between them will decide the winner.
Right.
So I think it's going to be very dominant on their behalf, and we'll have some great matches there. As for who I think will actually go through, I see Tanahashi. I think that the story of him returning from injury and then going back to the top is a good story, but I guess when we get onto the B block, we'll find who he may be facing and who I actually think might win the whole thing.
Okay, that's interesting tease there. Alex, what's your thoughts on Block A, and who do you think is going to be the winner?
Quite boring, because I have a feeling me and Alex are thinking exactly the same thing here. Because, I think Okada and Tanahashi, there's a reason they've put them on the last night, and I think it is for that they're going to tease, basically have them pretty much neck and neck for the whole thing. Obviously, we'll chat about night one in a second, but they've quite clearly planted the seeds of doubt early on in typical good booking fashion. I fancy Tanahashi to win this side, because obviously he's the defending champion. He's coming back from injury. There's always this thing with Tanahashi, it seems now, like it was last year. You go into the thing going, can he still compete at that standard because he's coming back from, you know, coming back from an injury and he's getting on a bit. And then just, we'll chat about his match in a minute, but it's just like, he's just every time, like he just rises to the occasion every single time and just keeps putting on these insane matches. I fancy Tanahashi to take this block. In terms of matches, there's loads. Particularly after seeing Marufuji Okada, he looks rejuvenated, Marufuji. Him and Tanahashi could be the match of the entire tournament if they perform at the level we know they're both capable of.
Yeah.
And I guess on Tanahashi, we should also note that in an interview prior to the tournament, he said that he is at about 60% on his arm. On it, I think it's his right arm.
Yeah.
And so it'll be interesting to see how he can sort of step up, not being at sort of 100% health.
Yeah, I'm going to go a different way to both of you two. I feel Kazuchi Gricada will win this block, is my prediction. Basically, because they've been teasing the story of the IWGP champion clean sweeping the tournament since last year. And I think it's a good callback to go to that particular way. I know Alex Watt, as we've talked before, isn't keen on the idea of Okada being too dominant because you'd like Naito to be seen as an equal. But I think it's a good story to tell. And I think it's been interesting that, you know, some of the merch that I've seen around, the signs that I've seen around on Tanahashi, the ace has returned. But I still think Kazuchi Okada is the ace of the company and is the long-term bet for the company. And I think winning the G1 would put him over for a good 3 or 4 years as the solid draw for the company. And I think that's really where they want to go with this. I mean, that's kind of my prediction of what's going to happen in the G1 this year, certainly in Block A. And I think Okada will take the whole thing. That's my personal particular taste, and certainly he looked on cracking form with Marufuji in the first round, but we'll talk about that in a moment. Let's move on to Block B. We have Evil, Tomoyuki Honma, Yuji Nagata, Katsuyuki Nakajima, Yoshihashi, Michael Elgin, Tetsuya Naito, Kenny Omega, Katsura Shibata, and Toru Yano. Yano, I'm just going to stick this in there because I did watch the tag match with Yano. And he's gone all serious again. The comedy's out the window. He's actually going to have a crack at this seriously, which I think is awesome because I'm Toru Yano's biggest fan. I think he's ace.
Yano's great. Yano is one of the highlights of the G1 for the last few years.
Yes, so I think that's going to be an interesting to see how he does in this particular
tournament.
Do you reckon,
though, that like there might be a little story of like he goes serious and then just wins no matches because he's not doing shortcuts like he normally does?
That's a possibility that might happen as well. I'm not going to like say he's going to win the block because I've got a different prediction.
No, Yano all the way. He's winning the whole thing.
You reckon Yano?
headlining Wrestle Kingdom.
Headlining Wrestle Kingdom in a match that lasts 4 minutes is entirely hair pulling a chin. Yes, that'd be awesome. Just proving entertainment is top of everything. Anyway, yeah, so Alex Watt, what's your thoughts on Block B?
I think it's possibly stronger overall than Block A is, even though Block A's obviously got Tanahashi and Okada. This is maybe more evenly matched, if that's the right way to put it, because you've got guys like Shibata and Elgin in there as well, Onma, Evil, who... still my favourite name in wrestling because it's so on the nose. But I think he'll have a really good tournament. Yeah, I mean, in terms of overall, it's the same thing with Block A where it feels like they've matched the two favourites, if you like, up on the last night of the tournament. So Naito and Omega. So you would expect them to be leading going into the last night and then the winner of that will go through to the final. So I'm picking Naito to win this block and to win the whole thing. So I fancy Naito Tanahashi final. But if they go the way you're saying, James, where if Okada takes Block A, then I could see Omega winning Block B and them going that way. So
yeah, so champion.
I mean, already they've created the intrigue in my head.
Yeah, it certainly is going to be an interesting month as this develops. What about you, Mr. Edwards? What's your thoughts on Block B?
Yeah, again, I agree. I think it's the more interesting block. It's got a few more sort of potential winners in there, I think. So I think, like Alex said, Naito and Omega are the two front runners in there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to go to my prediction of the whole tournament, I think Naito will win and... will go on to Wrestle Kingdom as that sort of redemption story of he won it, was it 2 years ago, and then got voted out of the main event at Wrestle Kingdom by the fans. And then since then, he's completely reinvented himself. So he comes back, wins, goes to Wrestle Kingdom, and has his main event.
Yeah, I think that would as well. You see, this is it. There's so many interesting stories to tell. Generally speaking, how can I put this? When they've tried to use the G1 to establish a new player in the game, like they did with Naito 2 or 3 years ago, the fans haven't necessarily bought into that. And that was Naito's problem. Well, apart from, you know, a bunch of other stuff, mainly his personality, which was the biggest problem. And this certainly gives you that redemption storyline that you've been talking about. I think with Block B, there's some stories there you could tell. I think Omega for me would be favorite just because he's the guy at the moment that they're really getting behind and they're giving a lot of creative leeway to, perhaps too much as we discussed before. And I think Shibata as well is another guy who could really show well in this tournament. But I think you're probably right with the fact that Naito is the guy that wants to go forward because they need that lead heel ace. They need someone who's going to be the long-term duelist with Okada, as Tanahashi had done before. You know, and they haven't got the AJ Styles that they used to have to throw in the mix to build things up. They have Kenny Omega, but Omega's kind of taken a different tack. So it's going to be interesting to see how this develops. So I can't really be different with you guys. I think Tetsuya Naito is probably the guy for me in Block B. And that'd be interesting to see what happens when it comes to the Wrestle Kingdom main event. The other thing, of course, is if Okada does win the whole thing and takes the Wrestle Kingdom main event slot, then they have to build another match because he's already IWGP Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, so how does that work? I've always wondered this. So does he then get to pick his opponent for Wrestle Kingdom, or will they just do some... Will they have another way of picking the challenger?
I think they'd probably have another way of picking the challenger. They don't have enough time to run a tournament because there's too many tournaments going on, so they maybe could just turn it into a personal issue.
Mm. And which, again, would work with the Naito thing, I would think, because that's the feud they're going to be doing going forward, I would imagine. Because, like we've said, it's got such a sort of rich story behind it anyway, already, which kind of happened organically.
But I will say that this one, financially, this one does have to be a surefire winner. After last year's disappointing draw at the Tokyo Dome, they won't want to be doing that again. So I think you can't keep Okada out of the main event one way or another.
And that's something, actually, that has me interested in. If Tanahashi was to make it to the final, do you think we could see Tanahashi win and Okada Tanahashi again at Wrestle Kingdom? Because when you look at sort of what's the biggest match with the two biggest stars they could create, it is Okada Tanahashi again.
But haven't we seen that far too often?
Yeah, they can't do it a third year in a row, sure. Especially after the whole thing about that was Okada's moment when he became the ace by beating him finally at Wrestle Kingdom. It will be a bit... It will be disappointing. I can't see that drawing that well either.
For sure. I'm not saying I want to see it. I'm just saying I think it's still a possibility that it could.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I'd watch those two wrestle all day, every day.
Mm. Oh,
But it's just, from a financial sales point of view, I'm not sure you can sell it again. Third time was not a charm. The big moment was the year before, and they maybe should have pulled the trigger then.
Yes, well, some people were saying, earlier this year, Wrestle Kingdom was one too many. But
yeah.
I didn't agree with that, but yeah, there was from some a story point, yeah. to it even then.
From a story point of view, yes. But I think I did say the year before that I preferred it if Okada had won, just to give him the push, especially as you're such a big crowd, and that would have solidified him then. But, you know, that's the way it goes. So let's move on to the first night of competition, which pitted, and we're just going to look at the big matches here. We'll start with probably... Let's be nice. The one with the least interest. Tama Tonga and Togi Makabe, which was a solid outing. And I think Tama Tonga has really shown himself to be quite the heavyweight kind of guy, really, because he wasn't for such a long time. And he seems to have certainly evolved and grown. He spent a lot of time in Bullet Club as being back up to other people, and he's certainly been paying attention. And Togi Makabe is... Togi Makabe, he hits people really hard and has really good matches and does some things that people that size shouldn't really do. So I'll start with Alex Edwards. What are your thoughts on this match?
You see, you say that about Togi Makabe just being Togi Makabe, and that's something I don't know if I get him. Like, see, I've been watching New Japan for a few years now, and ever since I've been watching, he's just sort of been there. He's not really done anything too special. And so in this tournament, I'm really just wondering what he's going to do. And I guess are we going to the results now?
Yeah, well, I'll make sure I got it right. Where are we? Makabe. Yeah, Makabe won 10 minutes and 37 seconds.
And so you say about Tama Tonga looking really good in this match, and he has so much potential, and I just don't get why he didn't win this match. I get that you don't want him to win the tournament overall, but it's Togi Makabe. Why did he lose?
I think Makabe is over to an extent, and he certainly has a draw. I mean, yeah, in 2011 he was really, really hot, and he was obviously at the top of the card for a long time. But he has kind of had his day because he is fairly one-dimensional in his approach. He does do some cool and interesting stuff, but he doesn't have the mass appeal that Honma has, say, his tag partner. You know, he's kind of like, how can I put it? They've kind of been displaced in affection by the third generation, Nagata, Tenzan, and Kojima, because they kind of like, he's not old enough to be in that generation, and he's not young enough to be in the Tanahashi generation, because he's on a different level. So it's difficult to see where he does have a place, and he hasn't had a personal issue since his feud with Bad Luck Fale 2 years ago. Though he did cut the, and perhaps the best English promo of last year, which was Bullet Club. F*** you, Bullet Club. I'll beat that out. Which I thought was just, that was genius. To the point, got the job done. So that was my favorite promo of last year. But yeah, I can see where you're coming from with this match. I think you're going to get some matches that aren't going to mean an awful lot in the greater scheme of things. Alex, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, pretty much agree with everything you guys have said. Tonga, I take your point that he's definitely improving, but it still feels like he's treading water massively. Like, what are they doing with him? So you would hope he's going to... But he needs a good G1, really, which is why I would agree with Alex that why not have him win on the first night? Because Makabe doesn't get harmed by losing to Tonga.
No.
So, yeah, it was... I mean, obviously, this is the way the tournaments go, and Tonga will pick up wins along the way. Everyone does. But, yeah, it seemed like they could have got him up and running.
Yeah, it was all right. For what it was, filled 10 minutes, and it did the job, but it wasn't anything that's going to be a straight, great stretch on the tournament in the long term. Also, we had Bad Luck Fale and Hiroki Goto. Goto is resurgent since joining Chaos at the beginning of the year. Fale has been doing some good stuff this year, but again, he's another Bullet Club member that's kind of been lost in the shuffle over the last 12 months, ever since his run with Shinsuke Nakamura of the IC title 2 summers ago, and he's not had anything to do seriously since then. Alex Watt, what is your thoughts on this particular match and the direction of both wrestlers?
Yeah. Fale worked with Okada briefly, didn't he? Which was the best he'd looked, because, you know, you're in the ring with Kazuchika Okada, who wouldn't look good, but again, like, I agree with you on Fale. He, like Tonga, feels like he's treading water a bit. Whether he has a good tournament, I don't know. Goto is going to be an interesting one because, like you say, he's had a bit of a resurgence, but he's the nearly man of New Japan, basically.
Yeah.
That's like it's basically his gimmick now, is that he never, like, wins the big matches. And so it'll be interesting to see if they're going to play off that, but actually give him like a really good run, because he had a decent run last year and actually beat Okada, but then they never really followed up on it afterwards. So,
well, I suppose as the first challenger after Wrestle Kingdom was probably,
that's true, yeah. But yeah, you know, it was a good match because it was those two, but then it was just sort of done, you know. You know, nothing really came of it, sadly. So yeah, we'll see if he... I would hope Goto has a good run, because you know he's going to put on great matches. Like, he's a workhorse, but...
Yeah, it's the personality thing, isn't it? It's not quite reaching the audience it should do.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
Alex Edwards, what's your thoughts on Fale and Goto?
No, yeah, I agree. I think Goto needs a good tournament, but even if he does have one, I'm not sure what to do with him afterwards. He's just sort of just been floating around. Like, he's now joined Chaos, which... I don't see where that can go, other than them inevitably breaking up and a match coming out of that, I guess. But then after that, what? And Fale is the same, which is another guy just sort of floating around doing stuff. And this was a match where two guys who just float around doing stuff had a match and Goto won.
Yes. Yeah, I think it was a good match for certainly one of the better ones Fowler's had.
It was okay, but
yeah, but again, it's no great strokes on the future direction of New Japan Pro Wrestling, or even great strokes on the future of these two wrestlers, because it was a predictable finish to the match with Goto winning, I would say. Then we had something that was a little more meaty. Hiroshi Tenzan of the Third Generation versus Tomohiro Ishii of Chaos. A match that I really enjoyed, and it was really, really cool to see Tenzan take a win in 14 minutes and 8 seconds over the Stone Pitbull. I thought this was really cool. I like Tenzan's resurgence in recent months. He's certainly done an awful lot. I think the guys at Voices of Wrestling were joking about Kojima doing like training montage videos with Tenzan before this tournament, and I was like, actually he used to do that with Muta back in the 1990s, so I don't think he'd even do that unironically. So, but yes, Tenzan and Ishii, a cracking match. Tenzan again, you know, dad of New Japan Pro Wrestling, he's having a really good run at the moment. Alex Edwards, what are your thoughts on this particular match?
Yeah, I agree. I think it was a really good match, and I'm really sort of, for the first time in a long time, excited about Tenzan. Yeah. He looked better in this match than I've seen him in so long. And with him saying this is going to be his last G1, I'm interested to see what they do with him. I'm wondering if there's maybe a chance that he makes it pretty far into the tournament, and there's sort of a tease of him getting to the final for sort of the last time.
It would be. I mean, you know, his mentor, Master Chono, is Mr. August, the greatest G1 champion of all. And Tenzan, it would be nice, because usually on the finals day, they tend to get a guest commentator in, and it has been Chono in the past. And it would be really cool to see if he got somewhere towards the end to have his mentor commentating on his match. You know, that would be something really, really cool to see. It's a nice visual that New Japan do like doing from time to time. I would agree. I think it'd be nice to see Tenzan go a long way, and his legacy in the G1, in his work that he's put into the G1 down the years to make the show special, it deserves some reward. Alex Watt, what about you?
Yeah, again, like thinking the same things as you. Like the story actually really intrigued me. Like, that I think they are going to go that way with it and really tease this. Was it Chono in 2005 where they did a similar thing, like of the older guy going through the tournament and eventually winning it? I don't think they're going to go all the way with it, but I do think they're going to play off it, and I think Tenzan is going to, win a lot of matches. And like Alex said, he looked great here against Ishii. Yeah. Like, this was a great match, and as well, it was because it was the first match of the night, the first match of the tournament, and it got it off to like a flying start, because this was a really good match. Whereas last year, like, the first few matches were a bit of a damp squib and it just sort of limped out the blocks. This was like, right, this is G1, this is two big guys are gonna smash each other basically for 10 minutes. They're just gonna beat each other up, and this is G1 time, enjoy. It was a good call, I think, to put those two out first, because, you know, although, like we say, Tenzan's been on the wane, he's obviously going to bring out his best for this, and Ishii's kind of the perfect guy to put him with.
Yeah, this is the textbook definition of leaving it all on the field, isn't it?
Mm. And I like the Tenzan Kojima super friends thing they're doing as well.
Yeah, and speaking of Kojima, Hiroshi Tanahashi would not have had a place in this tournament if Kojima hadn't given up his spot for it. And in that first particular spot, he wrestled Sanada of Los Ignorables de Japón. I'd argue, my favourite Sanada match ever. Because I've seen a bunch of his stuff down the years in TNA and Chikara and Wrestle One, and this was the best thing he's ever done. There was a real sense of drama about this match, which just goes to show how great Tanahashi is. I'm not suggesting that Sanada had nothing to do with that. Obviously he did. But, you know, Tanahashi's ability to build a match and tell the dramatic story with a guy who isn't quite there yet in New Japan Pro Wrestling, but certainly looks like having a much brighter future after this match. Now, Tanahashi lost this match to Sanada as well, which puts Sanada in a great place for this particular tournament. Alex, what are your thoughts on this particular matchup?
Yeah, it's the classic thing of, you know, getting like someone over really, really quickly. You know, to put him over clean over the guy who is basically the company's top star and has been for, you know, nigh on a decade now. To have him, I mean, tap out as well clean was massive, like a massive statement of intent that, you know, Sonata's here and they're gonna give him a push, as well as it is to obviously create the intrigue of having Tanahashi, who's the defending champ, lose on the first night. But yeah, it was tremendous, a tremendous match, which, like I said earlier, it's just like every time you sort of doubt Tanahashi a little bit, he just comes back and does this, like, and just has like another classic match. Just remind you why he's like, I mean, he's the greatest wrestler of his generation. He's got to be. Like, the fact that he can keep doing this year after year and just putting, the way he knows how to pace a match and get the crowd into it and, you know, have them buying everything he does. It's just, he's the king.
He is, really, because I've seen him go into impossible situations and make something fantastic out of it. Mm. You know, it's like having I am Toru Yano's biggest fan, but producing a feud that lasted longer than 3 months with Toru Yano, who has, and probably will admit himself, only has 4 moves, you know, to make that interesting takes a real level of genius. And Tanahashi he's the Ric Flair of our generation, I think, the current generation of New Japan stars. And he's something else, really, really is.
Yeah, we're saying, like, his arm's only at, like, 60%. I feel like Tanahashi could, like, break both his legs and probably still have, like, five classic matches in the G1. Like, you know, because I was thinking this while watching it. They call Shawn Michaels Mr. WrestleMania. Tanahashi's definitely Mr. G1.
He is for this generation. He's taken over where Masaccio left off, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Alex Edwards, what's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, no, I agree. I thought it was a really, really great match. And I can't get over the fact that it's the same Sonata that was in TNA. It's completely different from what he was then, and he's
that,
so much better
now. That rings a bell with someone else.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe this tournament will be the start of Sonata becoming, you know, that new ace for the company in sort of 2 years' time or something like that. But no, I thought this was a really, really good match, and I really enjoyed especially the sort of finishing sequence with Sonata showing so much sort of desperation, hitting those like 2 moonsaults and then the skull end, and just it was really, really good. Yeah, I'm not sure what else to say other than what you've already said.
Yeah, I mean, Sonata, the character change since he joined Los Ignorables has been perfect. And it's a transformation that is, for those of you who saw him in TNA, he is, the great Sonata character that he was doing with James Storm in The Revolution, which wasn't a bad character, but it was obviously derivative of the great Muta. So therefore, you know, you were fighting uphill anyway. Comparing yourself to one of the greatest wrestlers of all time is not going to do you that much good. And surely somebody in TNA should have seen that. Anyway, but yeah, he's just gone so dark, and he looks so good doing it. It's like this is his natural. Because I'll be honest, when he was in TNA, to me, he was Ricky Steamboat. He's a guy you don't turn heel because he's so good at being a face. He was just so over as being a face, and he did everything perfect. And he was that classic Japanese junior heavyweight in the mold of Jushin Liger. You know, he was that guy. And turning him heel, I thought, was a virtually impossible job, which TNA went and proved for me. But Gedo and Jedo have proved me wrong. So, you know, as they so often do. And I think this is an amazing character change around and an amazing match. And I think it really sets up Sonata well, should he do well in this tournament, to challenge for maybe the Intercontinental Championship, because him and Kenny Omega could do some very interesting things indeed. Then we had the main event of night one. Kazuchika Okada and Naomichi Marufuji. Yeah, it was going to be all right, isn't it? really. this can't be bad. This is two of my favorite wrestlers on the planet wrestling each other in an absolutely amazing match. Might not have been as good as Tanahashi and Sanada, but certainly it set the tournament off with a bang. Alex Edwards, your thoughts on this match?
Yeah, no, I thought it was really, really good. And I've not really seen too much of Marufuji outside of a few matches here and there, but I really, really enjoyed this, and he really sort of he showed me why he is so sort of hyped up and why everyone likes him so much. I thought just the story of him coming in as sort of the outsider and saying, you know what, Okada, I know what you're going to do. You're going to try and hit me with that Rainmaker, and so I'm just going to smash up your arm and just spend this whole match just kicking you in the arm, pulling your arm, putting you in submissions and just destroying it. And I thought it was played out really well. And yeah, I was happy to see him get the win as well. I think it sets up an interesting sort of IWGP title match later in the year. I'd be more than happy to see this match again.
Yeah, this is the thing. For those of you who are not familiar with New Japan Pro Wrestling, Marufuji isn't a New Japan Pro Wrestler. He's a Noah Pro Wrestler. And so this is the equivalent, essentially, of, I don't know, I'm trying to think, give you a parallel, it would be the equivalent of EC3 entering the King of the Ring tournament and beating Dean Ambrose in 15 minutes, which is never going to happen in a million years. But will happen in Japan because
never say never.
But it will happen in Japan because New Japan Pro Wrestling is a sport. It is not entertainment. We are here to enjoy it as a sport, and we try and read it as that as well. Though we do like comment on booking and business decisions. It is about the sporting content of this particular match. And Marufuji's story as well. It really intrigues me. If you've been following the Noah storyline of the last 18 months, it's all about Noah versus Suzuki Gun. And the invading forces of Suzuki-gun. And I don't think this match would have worked as well a year ago because Marufuji was in the process of feuding with Minoru Suzuki, and he's learned to be the hard case and take out the arm with the gate and break all the rules to get the job done. And that's what he had to learn to do to wrestle Suzuki, and now he's taking that attitude somewhere else. And it tells a great story for Noah fans who've been watching their product for a year, and he's brought it into the New Japan tournament. Even though he's a face, he acts in a very heelish way because he knows he has to get the job done, and the G1 is the place to do it. Alex Watt, what's your thoughts on this matchup?
Yeah, agreed. And he was going after the arm so brutally. Like, he was really going to town on it. which as well puts over, you know, how dangerous the Rainmaker is as well, that he wants to avoid it at all costs. But, yeah, I mean, it was obviously a great way to end night one, a massive main event. And then, as much as Marufuji's obviously a big name, he's coming into a different company, so it's the right call. You want to have him, you make that statement on the first night to any New Japan fans who don't know him, for instance. They don't watch Noah, they might not know much of his work, that this guy's a top guy, he can beat the champion the very first night. It gets him over immediately with the crowd, and as much as it wasn't one-sided, but Marufuji definitely dominated it and then won clean, which is again is a statement of intent, as well as again creating the doubt of can Okada go all the way. You know, he's made big claims about being the champ and winning the G1, and then this is setting back massively. Also, really important question, which I realized watching it, does Okada somehow get prettier every time we see him? Like,
he's a very handsome man.
An extensive beauty regime is all I'm saying.
He is the most handsome man in New Japan by a very long way.
No wonder Tanahashi hates him.
That was the Tanahashi thing, wasn't it? I'm not a good looking guy like Nakamura Okada. I'm essentially a potato in a wrestler's body. but yeah, Marufuji, and this is also like there is the draw of ace versus ace. Marufuji is the ace of Noah Pro Wrestling, and Ozawa Okada is the ace of New Japan Pro Wrestling, which is a more important title, really, than the GHC or the IWGP Heavyweight Championships. You know, the ace of the company is the guy that carries the company on their shoulders. So it was for a smaller company like Noah to get such a big win over the ace of New Japan Pro Wrestling was very giving of New Japan Pro Wrestling, but it sets up this narrative for the tournament certainly really, really well. And that was the first night. Now, there isn't just heavyweight wrestling going on in this particular time period, because New Japan isn't just about heavyweight wrestling. You know, there's tag team wrestling as well. And we have no tag tournament at the minute, but we do have a junior heavyweight championship, the Super J Cup, which evolved from the J Crown tournament that was in the early 90s and has been held as a single elimination tournament during the G1 Climax, basically to give the junior heavyweights something to do, which has been an interesting diversion. And we had the first night of that, the opening round, on Tuesday at Currican Hall. And then the final will be, I think it's the night before the G1 Climax, or it's certainly around the time of the G1 Climax final. And in our junior heavyweight championship, we had Jushin Thunder Liger, who beat Eta. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
I think it's Eta.
Something
like that.
Yeah. I thought it was a really interesting match. That match, I thought it was really quite cool. And Eita Kobayashi, and he represents Dragon Gate. So Dragon Gate sending someone to be represented in the Super J Cup is interesting, because they don't tend to loan people out. They tend to kind of like stick to their own kind of thing. So I thought that was interesting. But Liger won that in a really cracking match. And Eita was trying really hard, jumped Liger from the bell, and then threw him all over the K-hole, and it was really a desperation move kind of match, so it was really well worth watching. But, of course, the legend, Jushin Thunder Liger, moves on to the second round. You guys haven't seen this yet, have you?
No.
Not yet, no.
No, so...
Still seems, as much as it's like giving the junior heavyweight something to do, it's still a strange time to hold it, I always think, because it's like... It just gets buried under the G1.
You would think so.
There's only so many hours in the day. There's only so much wrestling I can watch, you know?
You'd think so, but K-Hall was packed to the rafters.
Mm.
And the crowd were absolutely on it. They were really up for it from the first match. The first match was Matt Sydal and Kaiji Tomato, and they were just chanting all night long. And it was...
You wonder if it's off the back of, obviously, the Super Juniors. King of Super Juniors was so sort of well-received. It got so much hype because of the Ospreay-Ricochet match. Like, everyone was talking about it. So it's almost rejuvenated the division a little bit.
Yeah, well, I mean, Will Ospreay wrestled Titan in a match that was very, very good as well. Titan from CMLL. And... Ospreay is really over in K-Hall, so that was well worth watching. Yeah, Matt Sydal beat Kaji Tomato in a pretty fun opener where they tried to outflip each other, as you'd expect. And Tomato...
Vader will be furious.
it's the kind of thing like Leon would just sit twiddling his thumbs, growling at his television if you watch this. Bushi lost to Yoshinobu Kanemura. So,
really?
Yeah, Los Ignorables took a loss to Suzuki-Gun, which was really interesting, because it was like they tried to out-heal one another. Essentially, it was 10 minutes of them trying to like sneak attack each other. Kanemura had Desperado as his second, and Bushi was like spitting mist and pushing referees in the way and doing all things Bushi does. So it was just like, essentially it's like two really technically sound, brilliant wrestlers just trying to cheat their way through this tournament.
Having a Toriyano match.
Yes, essentially, yeah. It was Toriyano wrestling Toriyano, with Toriyano as the referee.
Great match all time.
Yes, and then Reisuke Taguchi beat Daisuke Harada. That was okay. It wasn't brilliant, but Taguchi in his new serious mode, less fuss, get on with it. That was quite cool. Kenno defeated Guruku Mask. It was an interesting match. They tried out kicking each other. It was basically, as you went through each round, there was like a theme for each match. So these guys are really good at kicking, so they're going to kick each other a lot. These guys are really good at cheating, so they're going to cheat each other a lot. That was pretty cool. And then Yuma Aoyagi wrestled Tai Chi from Suzuki-Gun. Aoyagi's from All Japan Pro Wrestling, so it was a real interesting mix of Taichi, who's contracted to New Japan but wrestles for Noah under the Suzuki-Gun banner, who promotes his own shows, against Aoyagi from All Japan. So it effectively involved every office in Japan in one go, which I thought was really interesting. And they had an interesting match as well. And Taichi is kind of a while since I've seen him, and it was fun to see him again, but he's still doing the same stuff, so it was interesting. And then the final main event match was Taiji Ishimori versus Kushida, 16 minutes and 25 seconds, and that was a really, really good match, and Kushida showing his ace potential again. It'll be interesting to see, because you've got four New Japan regulars have gone to the second round. Matt Sydal representing Ring of Honor, Kanemura representing Suzuki-Gun, and Keno representing, K-Dojo. So you've still got some people in the second round who are outside of New Japan Pro Wrestling, but I can't see anyone outside of New Japan winning it. I don't think Ospreay will win it because he won Best of Super Juniors. So it might be... It'd be interesting to see if Kushida won it to echo that story of Kazuchika Okada winning the G1 Climax as champion. But I think it might be more interesting if you see Taguchi win it, because obviously then he would probably be in line for a New Japan, IWGP Junior Heavyweight title shot against his best friend Kushida. That could be an interesting way to go as well. So
yeah,
I don't know how you feel about that. Does anyone want to comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think Kushida's going to win this one. I think because they are trying to set him up as the ace of the company, or the ace of the junior division, I should say, when he lost Best of the Super Juniors and this was still a thing, I thought, you know, he's going to win the Super J Cup just so that he doesn't, just so you don't have your champion and your ace lose the two big tournaments
in the
year. So I think it makes sense for him to win this one. As for who he'll be in the final with, I'm not sure. Do you think we see, if he was to make it to the final, do you think we see the Will Ospreay match again? Or what do you think could happen there?
I'm not sure they'll go with the Will Ospreay match again, because they maybe want to save that for somewhere down the line.
They might go Kanemaru if they want to go all the way with the Noah versus New Japan thing.
Yeah, that would make sense. And or you could go with Sydal, because Sydal versus Kushida isn't something we've seen. So that would be interesting, and that's possibly a long-term bet for a big feud.
They might want to save that one, but yeah, that would be a great final. No doubt about that.
Yeah, so we'll keep an eye on that one. But that's we're not going to come back to that till where are we? That's going to be.
It's the end of August.
Yeah,
isn't it?
August 21st.
Same day as SummerSlam.
No, there you go. So competing pay per views on that day. You can just watch on the 21st of August. You can just sit watch wrestling all
that weekend. I think you've got NXT on the Saturday. Then you've got the Super J Cup finals in the morning of the Sunday for us in the UK, and then SummerSlam that night. It's going to be a pretty crazy. And I think there's a UFC show that weekend as well, so it's going to be crazy.
that's the trouble with wrestling these days, is there's just so much cool stuff, and watching it all is nigh on impossible.
Also, would that be the UFC event that Punk's supposedly debuting at?
It's not. The one before. I think it was originally rumoured to be that, but they've put it on the one after now.
That would have been perfect.
Yeah.
Okay then, well, today, as we're recording this morning was the second night of the G1 Climax tournament at Currican Hall again. Currican Hall is going to get a workout this summer because they'll put a lot of shows on there. And it was the first night of Block B, which was headlined by, he says, where are we? Yuji Nagata and Tetsuya Naito. So should we talk about the results of these matches? Because we haven't seen them yet. But we shall talk about the results. We will give ourselves spoilers just for you. Michael Elgin wrestled Evil in 10 minutes and 54 seconds and lost to Evil. So that one kind of sets things up for Los Ignorables a little bit.
Sets up an intercontinental title match, doesn't it? Because Elgin's the champion at the moment.
Certainly, yeah. And that would be, I think, possibly the best heel against the biggest face they've got at the moment as well, because Elgin is so over right now.
And there's definitely a theme as well from the opening nights of champions losing and favourites losing, and they're definitely creating all those doubts early on this time.
Yeah, and to follow that up, Shibata lost to Honma in 11 minutes and 11 seconds.
On Honma, who do you think is going to play Honma this year in the tournament? I guess now that he's got that one win, we've got Yoshihashi in the same block. Do you think he'll be the guy that goes the whole thing with 0 points?
No, because he won the first night as well.
Oh, well, there you go. Spoiler,
yeah, it doesn't look like they're going to have someone doing that. It feels like this could be like they're going upset route by the looks of it.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose you could argue that Yano could be the guy that goes 0 points, but he hasn't wrestled yet. Because the guys who haven't wrestled yet, Yano and Omega are the guys who haven't wrestled yet. And I don't think they're going to let Omega go.
Omega lost to Yoshihashi.
Yeah, so...
Did Yano lost to Nakajima, did he? First night.
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is interesting. So, yeah, Honma lost to Shibata, and apparently Shibata was not very happy and kicked the door on the way through the press conference and walked off in a huff. Because it's Shibata.
Beat Shibata, you mean?
Yes, yeah, sorry, beat Shibata. Honma Shibata, and then Shibata walked off in a huff.
I hadn't even sort of clocked that, like, Honma winning on the first night is massive. Like, they've done that, like, massive story for the last few years of getting the win, and then he's just won on the first night is quite...
Beating the never champion as well.
Yeah. Maybe he's going to have, like, an actual run through the tournament. Like, they're actually going to do it that way with him this time.
Honma Mania's running wild.
Yeah.
There is also the point, like, you know, it sets Honma up for a never openweight championship run as well. Which he had at the beginning of last year with Ishii as a substitute for Makabe. So there's things that are going on there. And Honma is eternally popular. I think he was in some controversy last summer concerning his ex-partner, which we won't go into for legal reasons. But he certainly, you know, I think they downplayed him for a long time because of that. I would take a guess. So, yeah, there's a possibility there. Then Nakajima defeated Yano in 3 minutes and 51 seconds. So Yano's getting his time in. The length of his matches are always fairly quick. You're never bored. And then Yoshihashi beats Kenny Omega, which may be one of the big upsets, because Yoshihashi is a guy that doesn't necessarily win matches very often. Certainly not singles matches. Wins a lot of tag matches, and sometimes is involved in the pinfall in the tag matches, but not a guy who goes out of his way. And there's been rumours of a Yoshihashi push for about 3 years now, which never seems to materialise. He is Chaos's nearly man.
Yeah, because I was wondering... Yeah, I just kind of thought, oh, he won't have a good tournament because of what we said. It always feels like he's going to get pushed and then he doesn't. So when I was thinking of, like, dark horses for the tournament, I was like, what about Yoshihashi? I couldn't see it, but then... Maybe they are going that route. Maybe he is going to get a push, because beating Omega on the first night is massive.
Yeah. I mean, he's had a really good few months, hasn't he? He's looked really good over the last couple of months in those tag matches and stuff, and he's had this sort of feud with Sanada, which I think they're probably building towards something on the night of the finals between them.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how he does sort of in the group stages.
And then, in the main event, Yuji Nagata, the grand old man of Block B, defeats Tetsuya Naito in 15 minutes and 32 seconds, which is the biggest upset of the night, and possibly the tournament so far. Third-generation leader Yuji Nagata against Los Ignorables leader Tetsuya Naito. I wouldn't read too much into it, because Nagata's career is way closer to the end of it than Naito's is, but it certainly is, you know, it echoes that big upset feel that we've had throughout this tournament so far.
Yeah, I would say, though, I think Sanada going over Tanahashi is still the biggest upset for me. I don't think anyone really saw that one coming. I can buy Nagata beating Naito. As much as it is an upset, it's still, you know, Yuji Nagata.
Toughest man in the world.
Yeah. Toughest man to ever wear blue.
Have you got any more comments?
I don't know if that's true.
Trying to think, blue Don Morocco.
Batista might want a word with you.
Yeah,
Don
Morocco. That's true. Yeah, Don Morocco. You know, falling on deaf ears.
Okay.
Yeah, Don Morocco. Yeah.
Duncan Ferguson. Probably.
Duncan Ferguson. Duncan Ferguson.
Yes.
Oh my God, Everton jokes on the Treepenny Show. We haven't had them in all
there. There's an old school football reference for
hey.
You.
Right then. So that kind of wraps up Block B for the opening night of that, which we'll look into more in depth when we've had a chance to actually watch the matches, which will be the next episode of the Treepenny Show. The next card is on the 23rd of July, which is tomorrow, I believe.
Tomorrow. They're coming thick and fast.
Which is a Block A night, which will be headlined Kazuchika Okada versus Sanada. The ones to look out for, Hirooki Goto and Tomohiro Ishii, which is chaos versus chaos and people hitting each other really hard.
If you don't like headbutts, don't watch that.
No. Oof. Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Togi Mikabe, which is good guy versus good guy, which could be. Well, it's one of those things that could be really good or really boring. Depends on what side Mikabe gets out of bed, to be honest with you. Oroso as well, Hiroshi Tenzan versus Tama Tonga. And Bad Luck Farsley versus Namichi Marufuji. I'm intrigued to see that one because I'm not sure what Marufuji will do with Farley.
Just kick him hard in the face, knees, you know.
Just watch Farley stand still and go, what?
what's happening? I think Okada Sanada is going to be really interesting now as well. Like, if Sanada beats him as well, that's got so many ramifications for, like, obviously, if they're going to push him big, then it would make sense to win. Plus, then you've got Okada losing the first two matches of the tournament.
Yeah, which gives him a lot to come back for. We didn't actually point this out. It's 2 points for a win, 1 point for a draw, 0 for a loss. So, obviously, that puts, well, Okada and Tanahashi 2 points down already, the big favourites for the Block A. So, just to give you an idea there. So, yeah, so that's what's coming up this week. We also have a show on the 24th, which is a Block B show, which will be headlined by Michael Elgin and Tetsuya Naito, as well as Kenny Omega versus Toriyano, the match I'm most looking forward to in this entire tournament. Tomoki Honma versus Yoshihashi, Evil versus Yuji Nagata, which I think would be really, really good, and Katsushiki Nakajima versus Kitsuru Shibata. So any comments on those matches?
Yeah, I think Yano and Omega will be something to behold. I think there's another one interesting there with Yoshihashi and Honma.
Oh, yes.
Where we have thing of the two sort of eternal underdogs facing off.
That could be interesting. And it would put, if Honma wins, that puts him top of the group.
Well, both of them, it would put them at 4 points if they were to win. So that could be interesting.
Certainly.
Imagine if they just had a draw, like a double knockout.
They'll walk up, Kakeshi headbutt, knock each other out, count to 10, over. how long is the Omega Yano match going to be?
Good question. I think they might go out 10 minutes. Yano and AJ went about 10 minutes last year, so I'm imagining it's going to play out pretty similarly, where Omega will get frustrated that someone's cheating against him for a change.
I think
it'll be a slightly longer Yano match, but how much that will actually be wrestling, I don't know, and how much that would be them just sort of shouting stuff at each other or running around, or you know,
if you currently want to know the current holder of the Larry Zbysko William Regal Stalling Award in professional wrestling, it goes to Tai Chi, who in the Super J Cup had, I'm sure, was in the ring for 20 minutes, and I'm sure he didn't take his ring stuff off for the first seven.
That's fantastic.
Yes, his ability not to do anything and make it look interesting is quite phenomenal. We've got an interesting couple of days ahead. We also have a show on the 25th, which we'll probably try and fit in, and we'll for the next recording, which we're going to record next weekend, just to keep you in touch with what we are doing here.
It's going to be a packed show.
It is going to be a packed show. We're probably going to have to kind of skip a few bits and pieces to get it all covered. But this is the nature of the beast when you're covering the G1 Climax tournament. We must have all been mad.
I think it's quite clear that we are all mad, but
yes,
we like wrestling. What can we say?
We do like wrestling. We might not like it as much at the end of this month, but there's some cool stuff to look forward to. Kazuchika Okada and Sanada, that's probably going to be my pick of the next few days. And Goto and Ishii, Chaos versus Chaos is something I'm really looking forward to today as well. Alex, what's your picks for the next couple of days?
Well, same too. Okada Sanada, I'm really, really looking forward to now.
Yeah, and Alex Edwards.
Yeah, Okada Sanada is one, and then that Omega and Yano match is...
Yeah.
Entertainment personified. Okay, well, thank you very much for listening to The Trupenny Show. Alex Watt, where can we find you on Twitter?
It is at AlexWatt187.
And where can we find you, Alex Edwards, on Twitter?
It's at Alex_Edwards_.
Okay, and you can find me at Sheriff Lone Star. Please listen to the rest of the WrestleTalk Podcast Network. The Squash with Gavin Duenas and Paul Taylor will be with you in the middle of the week, as well as the Finn Martin Report at the weekends. And you can always go back to WrestlePlus if you want any more wrestling content, NGW, all the cool stuff that we produce every week from the YouTube channel, and all the archive of the podcast that we've got. And very soon, our very own Power Slam magazine, which will feature writing from me, so that's very cool indeed. Also, check out WrestleTalk.tv for all of the written news, if you prefer your news written. There's some really cool stuff on there with our friend Marcus Green, who writes a lot for them. So thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week, and enjoy the G1.